from Department of Tourism. Honorable members, we'll do the minutes at the end. I think let's just go straight so we deal with the issues that the DG will present to us, engage on that, and then we can release them and then do our own business afterwards. So, DG, welcome. You will introduce your team and make a presentation. The honorable members will introduce themselves as they ask questions and make comments. Welcome. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you very much, honorable members of the committee. Chair, with your indulgence, the approach that I propose we take on this presentation, it's perhaps the first two items with respect to the expenditure performance of the department and the details related to the motivation on the environmentation. The CFO, Mr. Ralph Ackerman, will run through that. I will then come up, Chairperson, on the declaration of unspent funds with respect to the tourism incentive program and deal with the implications related to that, if you agree, Chairperson. Thank you very much for your indulgence. May Mr. Ralph Ackerman, the CFO, can then present the first two elements. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, members. On the expenditure performance as at 30 September 2014, you will see that our department has got four programs: administration, policy and knowledge services, international tourism and domestic tourism. In total, our budget is 1.6 million.
Billion. Billion.
On the second schedule that you've got, there is the actual expenditure versus the drawings. There you can see that what we anticipated is our drawings and then our actual expenditure. If you look at the percentages, at the end of September, our spending against our drawings was 98.7%. Our drawings was 1 billion and we nearly spent the total 1 billion. We only had 12.9 million variance. On the environment, you will see on administration, there's a 2.8 million that we shifted to administration. The 2.8 million is for the purchase of vehicles and also for equipment which relates to our internal audit as well as our records management, which is our telephone system. On the 3.7 million, which is for policy and knowledge services, that was an approval that we requested from the National Treasury to shift 3.7 million from policy and knowledge services, actually from international tourism to policy and knowledge services, because our public entity, SA Tourism, is within the policy and knowledge services program. The reason for that was that our department agreed with SA Tourism that we will pay for the translation and the distribution cost, and tourism will, SA Tourism will do the production cost. But when we had to do it, we realized that SA Tourism, because I've got offices abroad, they are in a better position to do it. And the money that was then budgeted under goods and services and the international tourism was then just shifted to our public entity, SA Tourism, with a approval of National Treasury. The reason why this then exceeded the 8% is that if you look at the budget of international tourism, it's a very small budget in comparison with the rest of our department. It's only got a 51 million rand budget. And if you work out the 8% on that, it's more or less just over 5 million. And when in our adjustment budget, we were in effect then served 6.5 million rand. And if the international tourism had a bigger budget, then obviously we would have remained within the 8%. But unfortunately, we had to exceed the 8%. Okay, the next one I actually already dealt with it in the explanation, and then DG, it's over to you on the unspent funds.
Chairperson, maybe to give a bit of context to this, there is the department also participated within the international relations cluster, and there was a decision that was taken about 2 years ago that we needed to maximize on our diplomatic representation abroad to ensure that a lot of work is done, we get better value out of our international representation abroad. To this effect, a committee was set up in the presidency to deal with how we can have a better impact on our international relations. Tourism was then identified as one of the departments that really needed to participate there. There was a need to do better outreach, even where our entity, Sarafian Tourism, is not represented. Our entity is represented in about 9 or 10 countries. I'm not sure about the exact. But our diplomatic missions, we are represented in more than 100 countries. And there was a need for us to maximize on that to start promoting tourism. To this effect, we've done a lot of work with the missions in terms of developing strategies together with the mission, participated in the economic diplomacy training for our diplomats to prepare them essentially to do marketing on tourism. And later on, we then determined that we don't have collateral marketing material that we can give to these embassies to start doing work on that. And that's why a decision was then taken that we needed to budget to utilize some of the monies to reach out to where Sarafian Tourism was not. And our international branch in the department then developed all this, but they then wanted to do translation of material in specific languages. We realized when we were about to implement that actually we needed to start developing new contract with international organization. Yet Sarafian Tourism had contract with international organizations to do translation. And that's why you see the 3.5 million moved from us to SAT to use their existing contract to ensure that this translation is done in these languages, and it would then be distributed to missions, and they would do that. In hindsight, we should have done that from the beginning, but we realized it once we started with the implementation that to start a new contract by the end of the financial year, wouldn't have done this. That's why the movement of those funds, Chairperson. I thought maybe I should also give that context to your committee. Now, with respect to the 78 million rand, Chairperson, you recall a few years ago, Cabinet took a decision to move incentive projects to the aligned department. This incentive project or funds, they used to reside within the DTI. And this project was then moved to us. We engaged the National Treasurer in terms of looking at how to strengthen this incentive project. What are the shortcomings of the old ones and how do we improve the incentives as we move forward? We did that together with the National Treasurer, and we came out with a totally different new approach in terms of the incentive. From the department point of view, we realized that we needed to use these incentives to drive transformation. It's fairly a large sum of money, but we thought this money would be used to drive transformation. And to this effect, we then budgeted for the first financial implementation of the incentive, which was this year, 2014-2015, about 100 million rand. And this 100 million rand, we earmarked it to design the process and develop the implementation of the tourism across the board in support of the national tourism sector strategy. Of course, the overall program, as I indicated, was to deal with development and transformation in the tourism sector. The department then developed a phased approach for the implementation of this project, Chairperson, that the first year would take this 100 million, but would incrementally keep on taking the money as we move forward, because institutionally, we did not have the capacity as a department to start absorbing large sums of money, and we thought as we move forward, as we implement, we'll then keep on increasing the amount of money. part of this money we thought we would then incentivize what we are involved in the EPWP. We are building a lot of lodges for communities, and some of this infrastructure that we're building are very viable, but we then discovered a challenge in terms of the operational cost. That we would use some of the money to incentivize the operational cost of some of this SRI project. We further envisage that as we move forward, we would look around issues related to incentivizing retrofitting for resource efficiency, such as energy and water, the accessibility that deals with universal accessibility with people with disabilities in some of our institutions across the country, because we realize most of these institutions are not catering for people with disabilities, so we will deal with some of these issues. I must say, in terms of the whole conceptualization of the project, we've done significant work in this regard. But then, Chairperson, during the course of this year, and during the budget midterm, we realized this 100 million that we were having, we will not be able to spend all of it. Because dealing with incentives, we were trying to manage some of the challenges that are emanating from the old project coming from the TTI. That you find a lot of consultants are driving this. So they are the ones who go to communities, to people, and say, we'll go and apply for you, but we take this percentage. We wanted to manage that to ensure that there's maximum impact. The money that is spent is dealt with the project and so on. Given the benefit of the hindsight, I can also confirm that I think maybe we're over ambitious ourselves to think that we'll be able to run this thing at the same time. But we wanted, as we roll out this fund, they must have maximum impact. This fund cannot necessarily go to consultants and you find very little trickle down to where they are supposed to be. So during the midterm budget, there was an appeal from the National Treasurer at the economic cluster meeting, saying to all departments, given the challenges that ESCOM is having this year, they'll actually appreciate all of us taking a deliberate decision in some of the projects that we can defer and contribute that money towards the kitty that is required for ESCOM. And we thought it would be really responsible for us to contribute this money, the amount of money that we did not have concrete commitment to, because we were remaining with almost half of the year. And that's why we then took 78 million, the rest of the money that we are having. We have a few projects that we have already committed to. So we decided to withhold even some of the commitment that we could envisage, given the importance and the challenges that ESCOM was facing with respect to the power generation and the money required. However, we recognize that the amount of money that we contribute in 78.9 is not that much, but it would really send a clear statement and it would go a long way in terms of contributing to the challenges that we are having with respect to the fiscals and funding of ESCOM. So that money, we have an understanding with the National Treasurer that for this year would give the 78 million, but the rollout of the money in the outer year will be the same. So it won't have significant implication for us moving forward. Chairperson, that is essentially how this money we dealt with. If you look at the presentation that provides the breakdown on the details for the incentives, this page, you will see how we intended to use this money. But I just want also to take members of the community, of the committee, into confidence in terms of what are the issues that we envisage that will be driving transformation, how we intended to use this money even moving forward. There are issues, there are areas where we are not participating as a country in terms of exhibiting around the world. So we thought we would look at some of our products to go and exhibit in international platform around the world. So far, as a country, we participate in about 3 or 4 international exhibitions, but we thought we'd then expand that. The other resources would then go towards supporting trade missions abroad, basically to exhibit what is it we have in tourism abroad. So will still carry on with this project as we move forward. But critically important again, was the question of the exhibiting of the domestic product within us, because most of us in the country find we have no knowledge about what is that the country can offer in terms of thinking of holidays. So it's within the broader strategic framework to really exhibit our domestic tourism. So we will support certain products to do exhibitions, for instance, in platforms like Indaba, Meetings Africa, that would expand those who could not afford, incentivize them to participate in that. As I indicated, the other one deals with the support, providing seed funding for the social responsibility implementation projects that we are having around, around the country. And that is essentially where we are, developing these infrastructure programs and realizing later, communities that we build in this in, they don't have the seed funds to keep on running them, and that's why you will see some of them, they start going down. So we'll provide some seed funding, and we'll get good management companies together with them to assist them to manage those assets. There are a few examples where this model is working, and we thought we'll replicate it across. We had a discussion with some of the management companies in the country to try to assist these communities, but also to assist them to develop management capacity as we move forward. That is essentially how we're going to deal with this incentive project as we move forward, Chairperson. The CFO has already dealt with the motivation for the environmentation. Now, there is an expectation, of course, from our stakeholders, because they know we have 100 million rand, but given the conditions under which the fiscal strength, weaknesses that we are having within the state, we thought it's actually a good call to contribute this money to the greater project of ESCOM that we also stand to benefit as tourism, actually, because if the country goes dark, no one will come into this country. So that's essentially the motivation, Chairperson. Thank you very much for your indulgence.
Thank you very much, DG. The tourism sector over the last few years has become one of the big contributors to GDP. I can't remember the figures now. Is it 8%? 9%. 9% of GDP. I think it will probably be quite at the same level with mining. I think mining might be a little. Mining is 8 now. So it means it has surpassed mining. So certainly, it is seen as a critical contributor to growing the economy, creating jobs. One of the reasons, DG, that I thought we should come and engage with you, that obviously if we see on any program of a department unspent funds, that in the long run is a recipe to say to Treasury, you don't need the money. So as a result, what was seen as a growing sector that would otherwise need the money is not, it then gets underfunded going forward because Treasury will say, well, they don't have capacity to spend. And I suppose if you look at what you may want to do going to the future, you obviously need more money. But because of an indication of unspent funds, it becomes difficult to say we need to do more, because then the question is, will you be able to spend? Now, you are saying, DG, that the 78 million, in a sense, won't be lost to you. You used the word the rollovers in the same period will amount to, meaning that you won't lose this money. Unspent treasure won't take it away, or if it does, it will still give it back in the same period. Maybe you can explain that so that I'm much clearer. But After that, I want to just give members an opportunity just to raise some questions. It may seem that it's not a lot of money. You see, in our committee, we deal with their departments who come here with billions and billions. And sometimes if you look at 78 million are spent, you might think, maybe small money. But in the long run, I'm saying this is an important sector. And I think we should do more to support tourism in the country. We should be doing much more. But then the department must demonstrate ability, capability to implement programs spent, because if a sector does well, surely we should do more in that sector. And that's really my concern. But I think you can explain to Jim, because I got an impression that you're saying, with all that explanation, that you won't necessarily lose those funds.
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. The 78 million we give into Treasurer this financial year, we won't get it moving forward. But the budget for next year, I think it was incremental. This year we were given 100 million. Next year it's 183 million. So next year we'd get the 183 million. So it won't affect our baseline for next year. The issue is that we used it, Chairperson, responding to the National Treasurer assurance to all departments that we needed to make sacrifices to contribute to ESCOM, that it would have no negative implication moving forward. So we'll still have the money that was earmarked for next year. And next year, I can assure the committee that we'd have better institutional capacity to deal with this thing, particularly to ensure that the money addresses specific projects instead of the money ending up with all the consultants who are looking, reaching out to communities and use the money. So we have developed better mechanisms to deal with that, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honourable members, that's the presentation from the DG and the CFO and the team. Let me give you an opportunity to raise your issues. And what we'll do, DG, just you and your team just take notes. And after all the honourable members have made their comments, you respond. If we still have time, we'll then take another round of contributions. Honourable Madlopa, you will start. And just to remind honourable members, introduce yourselves so that the DG and the team can know who they are talking to. You will be the first, Honourable Madlopa. Who wants to be second? Honourable Manana, welcome. You were not well previous time, and we are happy that you are able to join us on your birthday today. You are most welcome. You'll be the second. Honourable Fick, you'll be the third. Honourable Nyalunga, you'll be the fourth. I will still take, Honourable McLaughlin, you'll be the fifth. I'll take other members if they want to speak. But I know we do have a few apologies. Maybe I should have indicated at the beginning. So we know Honourable Shope Sithole is ill, consulting a doctor, not well. Honourable Kwangwa, not available, attending the Standing Committee on Finance. And Honourable Sheikh Imam, attending SCOPA. And Honourable Gardi on study leave. Okay, so those are the apologies. Okay, Honourable Madlopa, you can start. Just press your mic.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. We welcome the presentation by the Department of Tourism. Chair, one wants to know, in 2011, in the State of the Nation Address, the President made a call for all the departments to fill in the vacant position, because there is a problem of incapacity in the government departments, and also the country is faced with a high rate of unemployment. And as such, government have funded the vacant post to be filled, and all the vacant posts were really, president made a call, and this was a call from the highest office in the land. And today we are getting a presentation from the department. Maybe, Chair, if they can indicate how many vacant positions was budgeted, if we can know the number of vacant positions, and also to understand how many positions were filled in this 6 months, those of the vacant positions. And also, I hear the DG or they're indicating here that they have the savings, 78.9 or 850, according to the MTPS. But I want to, my understanding is that the savings, there is a difference between a savings and under expenditure. Savings is when you budget and then you spend the money accordingly, and then there is a remainder that is outstanding, and then you call it the savings. And just under expenditure is when you did not spend and you did not yield the result of what you budgeted for. I want to check here, there has been shift in the budget for vacant posts, but also there is an indication that they did not spend the money because of the problem of the capacity. That is a contradiction to me, to say that there is a money budgeted for vacant position so that you strengthen your capacity and you shift those funds and you don't spend. And you are saying also you are having a challenge with the capacity. Maybe if they can unpack it further to say why a shift of the budget for vacant position if they are still having this incapacity. And also, you know, when you present the strategic plan and the APPs, you table it, you budget it, and does it mean to say that what was planned for, because it's an indication of the lack of planning, that you plan and all of a sudden you shift fund, it means to say what is in the APPs are not going to be implemented, which has been approved to say that this is what we are all going to do, an oversight over it. And all of a sudden now APPs, it means to say that the targets that were made and the projects that were supposed to be implemented are not implemented, and it's shifted, which means to say that when you look at the APPs, we find a lot of projects that are not implemented because of the shift that has been done, which is talks to the poor planning of the department. And also the indication that they knew that they have got different countries, they need a translation. I don't think it's something that has just come now, that they will need a translation for those documents to go to different countries, you know. And then the delay and then the expenditure. And also, Chair, one would want to know the projections on the second quarter of the department, because the norm is just 25% first quarter, 50% second quarter. I see the it's 62.8%. I'm not sure whether it's going to have an over expenditure on this one, and one would want to understand what were the projections in their planning to get a clear understanding on that one. And lastly, Chair, we hear the motivation of the CFO around the environment to other programs as a percentage of the program, which is 12.5%. above the requirement by the Act, PFMA Section 43, which is 8. Maybe we'd want to get, because we can't just as a committee maybe just approve. We want to get a clear understanding, because this is a gross violation of the Act, which is a maximum of 8%. And the department has just moved to 12.5%. And the understanding is that this particular gross is supposed to be presented and agreed by the committee. But now this 12.5% is a gross violation. Maybe if the CFO and the CEO can further explain this one, because to me it's really a gross violation to say that you have overdue this environment, which is a maximum of 8%. Maybe, Chair, I will come back if I get time, but at the moment, let me pause there.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm glad I'm back. I was missing you a lot. Let me also join my colleague by welcoming the report. There are two areas that I would like to get clarity on or answers. First one is with regards to the EPWP program. According to your report, you were targeting to create 5,625 full-time jobs through this EPWP program. But when we look at your reports now, it seems as if we have only managed to create 635 jobs. I would like to know the reason why are you performing so low in this sector. Secondly, do you have any measures in place that will ensure that there is improvement in this area? And the department, can you assure us that by the end of the financial year, we'll make it a point that they have achieved this target? The second one is with regards to the support of the rural enterprise. You plan to support 489, but it seems as if as of the end of September, you only assisted 140. It seems as if there is a really challenge in this regard, because it's not even 50%. Has the department devised mechanism to improve performance in this area? Is the department confident that this target will be achieved by the end of this financial year? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Fick.
Better. Okay, thank you. Malcolm Figg, member of this committee. I don't have too many comments because obviously the information we have is very thin as well. So I'll base my questions on the information that is at hand. Just a question, and I'm not so sure if the DG will be able to answer this regarding the, obviously it's a home affairs issue, but it obviously affects tourism because, the DG was talking about Eskom just now, and one of the questions I want to deal with is how does Eskom affect tourism, but nevertheless. So the first one is the new visa regulations. We hear that tourism is growing, it contributes a large amount to GDP, but we now have new visa regulations, which it is envisaged that it will have an effect on tourism. That's the one. Slide number two, I've just named them. That's the slide that deals with the expenditure performance. There are two tables on that slide. One deals with the E&E budget versus actual, and then one deals with the drawing versus actual expenditure. Now, I notice, and I hope my understanding is the same as the others, is that the drawings is more than actual expenditure. So that variation or the difference of 12.9 million, yeah. My question is, where is that sitting at the moment? Because if it's been drawn and it hasn't been spent, so where would that be sitting at the moment? The slide that deals with the motivation of violence, which is the fourth slide, it has been partly covered, I will believe, and the one is about the vacant posts. My question would be, how many posts have been filled and how many posts are outstanding? That's the one, but it was dealt with. The second bullet point is of a concern to myself, is the reallocation of an amount to cater for the shortfall on equipment and the use and the replacement of vehicles. Now, could an explanation please be given as to why so many vehicles are required by tourism department? The slide that, this is where I wanted to comment on the Eskom issue. When the DG was given the explanation about the unspent funds of 78.8 million, the mention was made of the impact of the darkness that this country is going to be put into by Eskom. And but I'm not so sure why would tourism be budgeting or looking at what Eskom does. For me, the focus should be on getting more tourists to the country, albeit in the dark. The slide that deals with unspent funds, it would be the first narrative. There is explanation about this TIP, Tourism Incentive Program, and a whole lot of detail about why and the lead time of 6 and 8 months, and which appears as though it makes it difficult to get to these tourism exhibitions or trade exhibitions. Well, it's simple. I mean, you don't wait for the expedition or the exhibition, sorry. I mean, you should obviously plan 6 months in arrears. So I don't believe that explanation is a valid explanation. And that's it. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Nyalung.
Thank you, Chairperson. Tourism Department for your information. As my colleagues have already outlined some of my other questions that I wanted to pose. Mine is on one. I just want to check if ever there is a link between you and the small business department, also agriculture, on this issue of tourism, as if I can hear that you are touching some of this, they are overlooking on these two departments, or even more. And then I just want to check again, what is the duration and nature of the funded vacant positions, especially those whose budget that has been taken away? Thank you, Chair. I'll come back again.
Okay. Honorable
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. My name is Alan McLaughlin. I'm also a member of the Standing Committee on Appropriations. I have a few questions and comments that go along with those questions. As our Honourable Chair mentioned in his introduction, the tourism sector brings in a substantial portion of our GDP. That affects, I guess, the most lucrative market for tourism to attract would be the overseas market, international tourism, in other words. So my first concern, and I know I wasn't part of any APP discussion or anything like that, is that when I look at the figures in this budget, the smallest portion of the budget, 3.12%, in fact, is allocated for international tourism. That's it. While we're spending more than 50%, 55.66%, on policy and knowledge services, this seems very skewed to me. How can we possibly hope to achieve the desired result if this is how we structure our budget? Surely we should be focusing a lot more money on where the bucks can be brought in from, rather than squandering it all over the place. I don't understand why we spend 27% on domestic tourism and only 3% on international tourism. I know it's not strictly the work of this committee, but nonetheless I'd appreciate an explanation for that, because it does give us an idea as to why there are unspent funds. Because if I look at your next table, which gives us the drawings against expenditure, once again, the area where you spent the least of what you drew was on international tourism, only 65%, whereas the other three areas were nearly at 100% spent. There's no problem there, but there's again a problem with international tourism. When we speak of the environment, I think the department understandably tried to use a few euphemisms to make us not quite realize how big the difference is, but your discrepancy is a little more than was stated. 8% is 4.15 million, and you're asking for environment of 6.5 million, which is 12.5%. That's more than 50% above the 8% that is provided for in the PFMA. This is serious. You know, we're way offline here. Something seems to me to be wrong. If I can just relate as well to questions asked by my colleagues, slightly different take, if you like, on the same questions. Why do we need money now for vehicles and equipment, when clearly you would have had a budget initially for vehicles and equipment with a view on having more staff members than you currently have, because you haven't been able to fill those vacancies? And yet with fewer staff, you want more vehicles and more equipment. It's not adding up to me. It's not making logical sense. So I would also like to know, why is it you want more money for this at this stage? Why are we looking at environment to that area rather than to a more productive area? If I look at the unspent funds table that you showed us, again, the unspent funds, international trade exhibition, international trade mission assistance. This is where a fair portion of it is, and the other fair portion, the SRI sustainability program. So not only are we not attracting the money that we want to attract, we're not using the money we do have to assist those who need it the most, because the SRI is surely to assist those who are new into this market in the rural areas, those who are trying to establish themselves in the tourism industry. I'm sure that is the target of these funds. We're not spending that either. I have a serious concern. Like my colleague, Dr. Figg, mentioned, for it to take so long to process applications, up to 7 months prior to commencement of the targeted trade exhibition, is worrying enough in itself. It seems to me, this department, I don't know why it would take so long. Surely it's not necessary to take 7 months to see whether people are genuine and that their application is correct. It seems like way too much time. But then we're told at the end that no applications were made. No calls were made for applications. So not only is it this huge length of time that it takes to do it, but you don't even ask people to apply. I cannot fathom this. It seems to me that your department, with all due respect, is hardly doing any work at all, from what I can see here, although a large portion of your budget obviously has been spent. But if what you're telling us here can be interpolated into the rest of your budget, I'm glad we're not receiving a report on the rest of it, because it might be fairly frightening, with all due respect. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apology for coming in late. I confused G26, S26 for G26 until I saw members of the SANDF in that room, and I realized I was lost. I just want to understand when you're talking about shifting 618,000 rand to other expenditure items, which was otherwise planned for training and development. When you made that plan and costed it, were you targeting internal training, internal staff, or you are also involved in subsidizing the youth that seeks to enter the tourism industry? And I do want to express my worry that you seem to have abandoned that, because it's general knowledge, we want to absorb as many young people as possible in the economy, and tourism being a growing sector, it does need that kind of focus. But it seems that you don't seem to have planned properly to execute that. I, tourism, as you have mentioned yourself, Shepherdson, is a growing industry, and this keeps on being said that it's one of the fastest growing sectors. It does not seem to me, Shepherdson, with the kind of shifts of funds to other areas that were targeted for other things, it doesn't seem to me that you have a growth strategy. If you could explain that to us, it is missing as well in your input. What is your growth strategy in that industry, it being such a huge industry? That is linked as well to your target of 489 rural enterprises in the course of 2014-15, and you have only managed to assist 140. Now, rural tourism, urban or township tourism, is again another area of growth, and it doesn't seem to me that you have a focus. We read in newspapers a whole lot of things that are going on in Soweto, which are tourism related. And other townships. It doesn't look like you have a plan to grow your tourism industry towards that direction as well. And that is explained by your shifting funds to other expenditure, which seem to me not quite related to the growth of the industry. Also, one doesn't see any transfers to the provinces. If you could explain that, because logically, your interaction with the provinces would assist in growing this industry as well. So one wants to raise those concerns and perhaps seek explanations. Shepherdson, thank you.
Okay. Appreciate that I did not ask them to deal with their strat plan in detail, so that might be a limitation. if you don't see them talking about their growth strategy. We're only really looking at issues of performance, but there's no problem, DG, you know the stuff. You may be able to talk about that, but we also do allow that if you want to send some of the responses in writing, you are able to do so as well. Let me allow you and the team to respond.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you very much to honorable members in attempting to really deal with some of the issues. I, Chairperson, through you, I sincerely apologize that we actually do not have the details of the department's performance. As you indicated, Chairperson, we came to this committee to deal with specific issues that were raised by your committee. And there's a limitation. And we really, and that we're looking at the whole strategy of the department, and it's quite elaborative. Some of the areas that honorable members are raising are contained, they are clear programs and so on, but I would attempt to deal with some of them. And please do pardon me where we don't have detailed information, but I'll give you an overall understanding of some of the issues. Let me deal with the question of the vacancy rate, which comes across as an issue. We are a fairly small department. And if you look at the percentage of people who would move around, leave the department, go to other departments, because we are a small department, if we're close to 300 and some, how many staff? Yeah, 544 funded posts. Now, if you get 10 people leaving at a particular time, the percentage then appears to be too high. A few years ago, against my management team, I thought we could deal with the vacancy rate below what is required in government. What is required is about 10%, that you can have a vacancy rate of 10%. 3 years ago, I said to the team we could reduce our vacancy rate to 3% because we thought we'd deal with certain specific issues to deal with vacancy. We'll start to attract people with disability. We'll do reform of our advertisement to cater for people with disability and to reach out where we can find people with disability. And we started to see an increase in terms of people with disability. I mean, we're standing at about 4.5%. Way above what is required in government. Similarly, during the same period, we were able to reduce our vacancy rate below what is required by government. But we were not satisfied as a management team that we thought we could do better. We went on, last year we had a target of 8% to reduce our vacancy rate, which is below what is required because we were pushing ourselves. We could not achieve 8%. We ended up with 8.6%, but which was also below what is required by the government, the 10%. But the challenge of recruitment, actually, it's something that is very serious because you recruit people, you then have to start the screening process, and the screening process is not done by us. Last year, we had a large challenge with respect to our security services, because they were busy screening members of parliament from different parties. They were running those screening for the elections. And that was a priority that they were giving. So we suffered, not only us, across departments. We really suffered because of that. We're starting to get back to the mold now in terms of getting screening of people. But that is compounded also again, and I've raised this thing at the Foresight meetings, workshop of all the DGs. You take somebody through screening. When you give them the offer, they take your offer and they go to their department. It's quite prevalent now. And they say, tourism is offering me this. Are you going to counter offer? And invariably, most departments, they counter offer. And if you look at the recruitment and screening and reaching that, you then start afresh because you are required to advertise. The minimum that we can have is about 4 weeks to get advertisement. You got to run the process again. When you finish that, we realize some of the people, they perform very well in interviews, but you go to competency. They don't make it from competency. Then you are required to restart this thing. And I can say, I actually at one stage I said to the team, whoever decided on 10% had some good reasons. But we've been performing below that. And I think even moving forward, we're going to perform below that. We've just done a huge recruitment now to fill in the post, because the international branch, we actually had, we agreed that it's a new branch. When we restructured the department, we created a branch to cater for that. We're going to do a gradual recruitment filling up the post. We could not do in a given year a large number of them. But I'm quite confident, and I can assure honorable members that come at the end of the financial year, we will not sit at above what is required. We'll still be lower. But this time around, if you look at our strategic plan for the financial year 2015-2016, we're building an indication of how far we can stretch ourselves, because if we set a target to do 8, we don't do it. But if we reflect at it as a stretch target, and yet the required target is what is regulated, then I think you would also have a bit of understanding for that. But the vacancy rate, I think we'll be able to meet our target. It won't be a challenge despite what I've indicated. Now, the question of the savings and under expenditure, Honorable Masopo. I mean, if you look at what we are dealing with, take the money that we are requesting for environmentation. Of course, it's above the required 88%. But if you look at how much is the money, it's six million rand. Of course, it has exceeded the required percentage that we can do environmentation. But if you look at the reasons that we are advancing, and I'd like to really plead for your indulgence and your understanding in this respect, because when we decided we would do collateral materials and send them to missions, we thought we could do that. And when we were about to implement, we realized ourselves that actually SAT, our entity, has a contract with this international organization that are doing translation. Why don't we use that? Because they already have a contract. Instead of doing another company to do contract to do international translation, they could do that, we could give them the money. That's why during the midterm budget, we then realized it would be better for us to do that so that we are able to achieve the target. We will still achieve the target. And we entered into a dialogue with the National Treasurer to provide this explanation. The National Treasurer accepted it, and it will deal with that. And I think some of the things, because we've never done that in the past, we'll have some learning and growth as we deal with this thing. I think that's the explanation that one can provide with respect to translation. Because it's not translation in one language. It's translation in all the embassies where we are having embassies, in local languages, to be able to reach local people. And that's how we're dealing with this translation. The EPWP job performance, Honorable Manana, there's a formula that is used for EPWP project. What amount goes to the project, what amount goes to the full-time equivalent jobs of people that we are employing, the amount that we use for training. I mean, if you look at it now, indeed you are seeing low numbers. But it works in certain cycles, because you're going to start to see a large volume of numbers that are coming back, feedback from people who are dealing with that. What we are doing now is also to cater for the full-time jobs in some of the projects that we are creating, because we never dealt with the full-time jobs. We dealt only with the full-time equivalent. I can tell you one of the projects that we are supporting with this work, we finished the full-time equivalent. They've moved to full-time jobs. They're employing 29 people on full-time basis. So there are certain changes that are taking place with respect to full-time that we needed to manage. And we've had a discussion with the National Treasurer and the Department of Public Works to deal with how to move out of the stringent condition of EPWP, where we think there's a possibility and there are potential for full-time jobs that we could create. And they've given us an understanding in terms of dealing with that. The visa regulation, I can confirm that there's a discussion that is going on between the Minister and the Minister of Home Affairs to deal with the regulation. And I think at the political level, they've managed to deal with this thing very well. Home Affairs is communicating how are they moving forward in terms of the agreement that emanated from that. Can I indicate also, when I spoke about us giving money to ESCOM, Energy is the source of everything in this country. It's source of mobility, source of everything. Tourists depend on mobility in the country. No tourists will make bookings to go to a country where they are not certain about flying from point A to point B because there's no energy. It has a serious impact. There are a lot of issues that are dependent, that tourism is dependent on. Its transport is a key one. Energy remains key. And energy, not only for tourists, for all of us, the hotels where people stay, if we start gaining a reputation of unpredictable electrical supply, people would not come. These are issues that are encouraging people to come to the country. And that's why it's in our strategic interest as a country to ensure that the energy, it flows. I think as a civil servant, I need to have a broader perspective of how to enhance the competitiveness of a country. And one of it, of course, is the question of energy, the question of the road, the question of the infrastructure that are not directly related to us, but have a direct impact in what we are doing. The TIP project, as I indicated, is...
I think, DG, the question was, should you budget for that?
Oh, no, Chairperson, we shouldn't budget for that. But if there's an appeal in the cluster, the economic cluster, to say there's a crisis in this sector, we need this amount of money, I think if we realize it's in the strategic interest of the country, we should do it. Similarly, if we were to be in a serious crisis in the tourism department, we'll go to the cluster and say, we request departments, we'll explain the case, but we'll request to be assisted, and that was the spirit at the meeting of the cluster. Of course, the treasurer could have imposed the amount of money that they needed to cut everybody, but they thought they needed our concurrence in terms of that. It was not budgeting. It's a one-off thing that came from our budget. I don't think there's any expectation moving forward that we're going to give the money there. I must admit, Honorable Nyalungu, that one of the biggest problems that we haven't developed is synergies between our department and the ministry of Minister Lindiwe Zulu. There hasn't been any at the official level, but they participate in the cluster. But I can admit this is one thing that we are still battling with, to say what do we do with the resources that we have in our department earmarked for SMMEs, and yet we have SMME ministry now. How are we going to manage that? There hasn't been any issue. Honorable McLaughlin, no. You know, 75% of vote 35 budget goes to South African tourism. 75%. It goes to South African tourism. And that 75% in the last few years, including this financial year, has been dedicated to international marketing. But we then realize, actually, there's a need to grow the domestic market. A country like China, their domestic tourism contributes about the equivalent of about 4 trillion rand. It's domestic. The United States, 98% of their tourism is domestic. So there's a need to strengthen our domestic home base, because the domestic tourism is not vulnerable to international turbulence, challenges that are emerging at the international stage. If you go around the country, you realize some lodges, actually, they have casual workers. Each time there's an activity, they invite them. But if we were to stimulate and allow our people to use their vacations and so on, and I would urge honorable members to take your holidays within the country, we'll be supporting those establishments and providing permanent jobs. So there's a need to focus on that. But 75% of our budget goes towards international marketing. The money for cars, I'll ask the CFO to deal with that. Now, in the department, we have the strategy that was approved by Cabinet in 2011 called the National Tourism Sector Strategy. It's a coalition between us and the private sector. In that strategy, we intend in 2020 to contribute about half a trillion rand to the GDP of the country. We intend to create 250,000 jobs, and in terms of the job creation and contribution into the GDP, we realized during the midterm review now together, looking at the sector performance, that actually we have been moderate in terms of the contribution. So we're going to revise the target now moving forward to put them on a much higher scale, because if you look at the target of what we're achieving, we seem to be overachieving. So there's a debate to say we need to look at higher targets to fast-track our contribution in terms of the NTSS. But it's an arrangement that we are having with the sector. Now, the question of rural tourism, we do have a strategy that really specifically focuses on rural tourism. There are certain activities that we are undertaking around the country. Transfer to provinces, no. Tourism is a concurrent function. The province is a local government. They budget for their own tourism activities. But in the last few years, we've really tried to close the divide and work together across the spheres of government. One of the things that we're trying to do, we did a research in 2012, how much are we spending in marketing tourism. We realized actually we're spending about 3 billion rand across the three spheres of government. But we could not show the tangible results of that. Most of the things were reputations. We, South African tourism, is doing marketing in a particular country. A province or a particular district, they're doing the same thing, approaching the same client. We thought it would spend the resources much better. So there are a lot of synergies that we are developing, working with all the spheres of government. With the provincial government, the relationship has been fantastic in terms of sharing strategies and synergies and realigning our activities. The challenge has been around the local government, and that's where we're going to spend a lot of resources. You realize next year, February, we're going to have, again, the local government conference where we're dealing specifically with issues related to tourism, and we're inviting people across to assist and work with them. And out of that, we develop strategies of what we need to do, and there's a lot of capacity that is required at the local government. Ralph, I think you can deal with some of this question. I hope I managed to provide explanation on the one-sided chairperson. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, yes. On the 2.8 million, 1.7 million is for our telephone system. It's an upgrade of a telephone system. It also includes the instruments as well as the software and license fees. That's 1.7 million. 900,000 is for a replacement of two vehicles. Now, these two vehicles were under a lease agreement, and we knew exactly when this lease agreement was going to come to an end. But because of the kilometers traveled, now these vehicles need to be replaced. So actually the replacement moved forward than what we anticipated. And then the remaining 200,000 Rand is for our internal audit component, specific software that they need to purchase. On the 618,000 Rand, that money was originally in our budget as a payment to CAF CETA and also to PS CETA. But Treasury indicated that all departments now need to classify it as a transfer payment. So it was just previously budgeted for goods and services, and it was now included as a transfer payment. So it is still going exactly for the same purpose. It is just the classification of it with the transfer. On the bank account, on the money that is the variance, for 12 million, yes, that money remains in the department's bank account, and it then gets carried over to the next month.
Honourable members, I'm sure you'll agree that, as the DG was saying, 75% of their budget goes to SA Tourism. I think we should have had SA Tourism here, because that would be very interested to know how they are performing. Some of the questions we're asking about spending on international tourism, etc., I think it will be good to look at that. So maybe the next time we interact again, it will be good to have SA Tourism so that members can have a sense of how they are doing, because investing in domestic tourism is a good strategy, we agree. But I think there are a lot of people from all over the world who want to come. A traditional international tourist markets that we need to grow and profit new ones, etc. So it's not necessarily an either or. But I think we'll be able to pick up some of those things when we look at the South African tourism. And I think documents we have before us tell us nothing about that, which is a weakness. Because I'm looking at the estimates of national expenditure, midterm performance, you can't pick it up except a transfer. And that's the weakness. So it will tell us that you have transferred the money, but as to how they are doing, we can't pick it up. But I think we are happy to have engaged with you, and I'll ask if members still want a follow-up. I think the important thing, DG, is that because tourism is such an important sector in our economy, I think we need to do everything to grow it. I think that's the point Honorable Qabaza is making. And so it means we must fix the smaller things, the capacity in the department. But I think we would like to look at the agencies as well, maybe. I don't know how many agencies you have. It's only South African Tourism. So we would like to bring them on board as well, so we have a good picture. I'm very interested in your point that you want to create 50,000 jobs over the medium term. Is that over the medium term only next year?
No, it's in the NTS, it's 250,000.
250,000?
From 2011
to 2020. Okay, 250,000. So I think we'd like to, committee deals not only with the money, because you see, if you just look at the money, it won't tell you much. We like to look at performance, so we look at targets and the targets are achieved. But we also like to engage with people about their vision, their plans, looking forward. Why not do this or that? So I think at some point, when we look at the money, we'll also look at the strategy, but also look at what the agency is doing and have a better picture. Because if we grow the tourism industry, surely we'll grow the South African economy. We'll create jobs, except there are a lot of young people that can come into this industry. So I think that our concern as the committee we want you to do well as a department, but with your agency as well. We want to look at how they are doing, and maybe it was a weakness not to have indicated that you should bring them, because I think we'd have a much better discussion. But let me allow, if members still want to come back, raise some follow-up issues, and as I said, some of the issues can be responded to in writing. We also allow members from time to time to be able to write follow-up questions, so we will take all your details so that if there are other issues we want to follow up, we are able to do so. Honorable Matopa, I see you want to follow up?
No, sir.
Honorable Siku.
No, we want to appreciate the responses from the DG as well as the CFO and Chair, and also agree with you that as a standing comment on appropriations, it's not that we question because we want to just ask questions, but what is important for us is for the department to do well, and also support where necessary to do it. If Honorable Phila Ntole was here, was going to say that the President has called for the radical economic and social transformation. Whatever the department is doing, we must see that radicalism on the change.
in particular around the issue of the high unemployment in the country. That's why we are having a concern about the vacant position when the country is facing this high unemployment, you know. And also you have got a target that you have set for yourself for 250,000, you know, job creation. At the same time, the positions that you are supposed to fill, you are not filling them, you know, to contribute to what you have planned for. So this is what is our concern as a committee. But we think that we'll be doing more better, you know, around the issue of the APPs, because as the politicians, you know, we do the oversight on the APPs. Now, if you shift and then this thing that we're focusing, you have reported in the communities and it's normal for you to be done. That's why sometimes we are having those service delivery protests, because of the shift of something that has been reported sometimes in the community. But one is just, it's just a comment to say that we have got a medium-term expenditure framework, which is 3 years, you know. You can prepare, plan in the first year, and know exactly what you are going to implement in the second year or third year. I'm saying this, Honorable Chair, because the department was did made a planning. I think they start with research. When you start with research during the preparations and planning, you will know that South African tourism is the one that has got, you know, some partnership with the other organizations for translation. You just discover that early before you implement, not when you are in the middle of implementation and then you discover that, no, we are not going to do this now, we must approach this. So in your planning, that's why in the beginning I said, I think it's tough to the planning. Because if you have planned well, you did your research, you prepare, you plan, and then during the time of implementation, you won't have the problem of shifting and shifting because you have planned well. So I think the department needs to strengthen the planning side of their work, because I think they will yield good results if they do that rather than having a problem in the middle of implementation. And maybe the DG will explain the challenges he indicated on the low performance of EPWP to say that they need to deal with the stringent, you know, challenges. I don't know what challenges in the EPWP that was raised by Honorable Manana to share with us, to say what are the challenges in the implementation of EPWP, because there is a low, you know, performance on it. But we think also EPWP will contribute positively to the job creation as well as the skills development, because this is a target of the government to implement this EPWP for the skills as well as the job creation. And also the protection. I did not hear the protection on the second quarter. 62.8 that you came up with instead of 50, which is a norm in the second term. I did not know what was the original protection on the expenditure.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. The figure. The figure that I'm going to refer to might be insignificant in the entire budget, but I'm going to ask the question. Regarding those two vehicles for 900,000, I'm interested in them. What vehicles are they for who, and what are they used for? I mean, because 900,000 can build about 105,000 RDP houses, so it might not be insignificant if you look at it from that point of view.
Okay, DG, I think that's all for now.
Chairperson, with your permission, I'd really like to make a suggestion moving forward that maybe you may want to consider this with your committee, that during the next financial year, when you work out your business of work for the whole year, you invite us even to spend an hour to give this committee the confidence what are our targets and planning moving forward, so that later on when you do this review, you have the context of what is that we are doing, and you are able to better play an oversight. And I think we'll be more than happy to do that and really take your committee into confidence. I can indicate also, Chairperson, that in the last 5 years we've been receiving unqualified reports. One of the areas that we've improved significantly is with respect to predetermined objectives. But there's always a room for improvement, and I think the sentiments that are raised by members of the committee here would factor on them. And this improvement has led to this last financial year, the department getting a clean audit. We've moved from qualified to clean audit because of some of the unqualified to clean audit. We've never had the qualified. So I think there's a lot of room of improvement. We will deal with some of the issues that honorable members have raised here, literally to improve on that. With respect to the EPWP targets, we have, for instance, now we've dealt with the approval of a lot of projects that have to commence. We do a lot of oversight because that has been the weakness in the past. To verify what is on the ground, to deal with the question of sustainability, we've moved away from just giving project to deal with the sustainability and deal with the fact that this project must benefit the community. So we've moved to that. So we're going to approve a lot of them now, and you see a shift in terms of the targets as we move forward. I don't think we're going to be poorly performing in this respect because there are a lot of them. There are issues, there are areas that added to this, the minister thought we need to interrogate more, which would add more value in terms of the EPWP moving forward. So we are on course with the EPWP, I can confirm. Ralph, you want to take with the others?
On the two vehicles, those two vehicles is for the deputy minister. One vehicle is used in Pretoria and one vehicle is used in Cape Town, and it's a replacement of those two vehicles. that is the 900,000 rand. On the 62.8%, the 62.8% is just worked out where Treasury said it's our spending from April to September. But you will see in our presentation when we looked at the total E&E budget, we said that it was 59.8%. And the rest of the year, our projections is in place, and we also amended our cash flow with our drawings to the National Treasury to be in line for the remaining part of the year. So obviously our target is that we will spend our full budget by the end of March next year.
Yeah. Honorable members, let's thank the DG for the prompt response. We will be watching your targets very closely because, you know, departments that deals with the economy are going to be our focus area. We are meeting tomorrow with the Department of Economic Development. So we are very interested because, as I said from the beginning, tourism is a growing sector. So we'll be watching your targets. We also accept your offer to come and brief us about your plans. Obviously, SA Tourism should be there, and so that we're able to engage better. I think as members would say, our approach is to we want to see improvement going forward. So where there are weaknesses, members will criticize. But we also want to say we are here to alert you that here we think things are not going well. I think the important thing to achieve targets, because my concern is that, you see, if you lose money and it goes back to Treasury, even if you are funded well over the next year, the fact that this one you have lost, so what you could have done now, you have lost those resources. But we accept the explanation by the DG. We'll be watching the targets. I think you said a lot of this will be met, more capacity in the coming year. One of the things that was said in the medium-term budget policy statements about better alignment, that better alignment and coordination can improve program effectiveness. And this can be done without requiring additional funds. So coordination by national departments, I think Honorable Nyalunga say there are departments that may be relevant to what you are doing. We need to see more coordination in order to achieve better results. But I think for now, honorable members, it's okay. Honorable
chair, if I may, if I could just ask one question on clarity. Sorry, I missed it just now when I spoke. On the table headed unspent funds, the last item there is SRI sustainability program. I just wanted to know on the main expenditure performance as at 30 September 2014, and under which of the four headings does that one fall? Could I just get clarity on that? And then I just wanted to know as well, these unspent funds, is that in respect of the first 6 months of the financial year, or is this a projection over the whole financial year? Thank you.
Okay, did you?
The SRI program and also the tourism incentive program both falls in within the domestic tourism branch. So it's our program four. The projection for the first 6 months on the SRI program, we've spent up to our target, and you can also see that it is reflected in the table. But the tourism incentive program, obviously, the spending was projected in the outer months. So that's why the spending on the domestic tourism is 99.9%.
DG, your last word?
I just want to thank you. Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. And indeed, we would take a lot of wisdom that came out of this committee would factor these issues. But I just want to reassure members of the committee, too, that we're doing our best to achieve targets. That's what we are worried about every day. And we really appreciate your support in this respect. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, let's thank the DG and the team, CFO, and all your team. You will certainly hear from us again. We are very interested in this sector. And all the best with your work. Thank you very much. You are liberated. I think we should pay a lot of attention to this sector. It's a very important sector of our economy, and I think it was an oversight on my part not to call South African tourism, because that's where the big money is. 75% of the budget is there. So, in other words, we're only dealing with 25. We want the 75. We want to see what they are doing there, because if we get improvements in South African tourism, that's how we're going to sort out this problem. I'm sure we agree. Okay. 1 minute. How many sets do we have?
Two.
On minutes of the fourth, is there anything there? If not, do I see a mover? On meetings of the phone. Can I also say that I don't know if were all members struggling to open your email sent to you? Yeah. Zandu was trying to tell me what the problem was. What did you say, Zandu?
I don't know.
You were saying what's the problem?
It could be the format, Chair.
It was the format. Because I couldn't open mine. So I thought
maybe,
you know, sometimes you have a problem with iPads. Yeah, especially it's not PDF.
Mm. So next time I'll PDF the presentation.
Yeah, I
the PowerPoint
PDF
presentation.
Everything, because iPads are a problem.
Mm.
Okay, we'll make sure, because I think members want to read the stuff before they arrive here.
No. Sorry about that.
And the researchers as well, the notes that you make for us, if you can make sure we get them on time to be able to. We'll obviously have our own questions, but where you pick up issues that you think
we need to cross-examine. Let us get that on time. Meeting of minutes of the 4th, any mover? Honorable McLaughlin move. Honorable Nyalunga second. Meeting of the 5th. Are those okay? Who wants to move? Honorable Kwabaza moves. Seconder. Honorable Mahlopa second. So both those minutes are now adopted. There's just one small issue not on the agenda. I wanted to deal with just a small issue. The visit to National Treasury, are we still kids? Where is this? We have agreed that because the year is almost over, I don't think we'll be able to go anywhere else. We wanted to go to the Eastern Cape, check the education infrastructure thing. I don't think it's possible. I thought we should visit National Treasury in the Reserve Bank. But there's a slight problem. Parliament says the Reserve Bank is not within our scope of work, so they won't fund the trip. So I just said, okay, we'll just go to National Treasury for now, because I think there was a bit of, am I correct, that's what they
yeah.
said. We still want to go. Maybe I'll convince the House Chair at some point, because I didn't understand the rigidity. So we're putting, I think effectively 2 days. If you look at, I think the 25th of November to the 26th and 27th effectively to interact with National Treasury. I'll ask Sandy to circulate the documents to all members to see. If we are no longer keen, we'll then defer it to next year. But let me know if you are keen. For now, we will send, I don't know if National Treasury at that time they'll be able to receive us. I'll send the letter to them and also to request Parliament to fund them so that people can stay in Pretoria for those 2 days. Yeah. That, I thought let's look into that.
I wanted to still motivate that if it is possible, let's go there on the set date, because if we try early next year, we might just not be able, because it's closer to
the
February budget speech.
Mm.
They might be very busy and not be able to attend to us. It would help us as well, I think, to have some kind of a broader understanding ahead of the budget speech next year. Thanks.
We stick to the date?
Another
thing? Something else? Okay, we pass this one. Eh? If they can receive us on the set date, we'll go there and interact with them. One of the things we must do in the future, obviously this we won't discuss now, is we need to get Parliament to start interacting with budget processes earlier than we currently do. I think in terms of how the fiscal framework is conceptualized, Parliament comes a bit late. And I think it's something that I will discuss with the leadership of Parliament. We need some reforms how Parliament comes into the process. Because if Parliament comes too late, that's why you'll have a problem of even amending the budget, because it comes as fait accompli. But we will, when we have National Treasury, we'll see what they are doing there. Obviously, the budget for next year is almost finalized. Honorable Fick, you have something else?
As we move towards the end of the year, we were assured by the Department of Basic Education, the DG, that the textbooks will be delivered to the schools by the end of the year. So could we get could we establish whichever way, by way of writing or whatever, that that is the case, please, Honourable Chairperson?
Okay. We were supposed to meet with them again, with the joint, remember we had a joint committee meeting with them. The chairperson has come back to me to say, when are we having that follow-up meeting? We're struggling with dates. If we can find this, I'm trying to avoid Fridays as much as possible. If we can find a date, we'll fit that meeting, but I think there's no doubt that there's no problem in reminding them about that commitment. I've not heard what they are doing at the moment. But honourable members should also feel free to write to the minister in your capacity as an MP to say, can you assure us that this is going to happen so that we don't come late when there's a crisis. Any other thing? Honourable man.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I wanted to find out, as we are cancelling their visit to Eastern Cape, when are we going to go to Eastern Cape? Because it seems if there's really a crisis there.
We will look at our program of work for next year. Obviously, I think this year is almost impossible. So I think when we look at the program for next year, we'll bring a draft. But we're not cancelling it that we're no longer going to go, because our priority is going to remain education, as we agreed, both the basic and higher education, and the, of course, the health, and then the economic cluster. So the visit to check the schools is still on the agenda. We just need to finalize when will that be possible. So we will factor it in when we look at our, probably before we close this year, we'll maybe have a draft program that we'll look at for next year. Okay, we're done for today. Tomorrow we start at 9.
Half past 9.
9:30. And it's Department of Economic Development. Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Members.